When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000, it has been commented upon many times before, is one of the most frequently repeated miracles read from the scriptures over the course of our Anglican church year. It appears three times, a particular challenge to the homilist. Only the narrative of the Passion of Christ is read more frequently, four times, once from each gospel, over the course of Holy Week, which is coming up. But the feeding of the multitudes is that close second. It carries with it such a treasure trove of truths about the gospel that for as long as lectionaries have been followed in the church, and that is more than three quarters of the church's history, this miracle has been heard again and again and again. And there are a thousand reasons for us to contemplate this miracle, but on this day we'll make a withdrawal from just one of those treasures, one of my favorite lines in this narrative. And that is the short interaction between a disciple and the master. The interaction between Philip and Jesus. Conversation is very simple. The words are presented in just three sentences. And really, the ones that matter are the first two. And truly, it's only the second of the sentences that will stop us in our tracks, I hope. The first sentence, Jesus saw a great company coming unto him, and he asked Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? Holy Scripture, inspired by God, but probably very few people took that verse as their life verse. Only slightly more significant is the third sentence, the answer of Philip. Philip responds, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. Once again, not a life verse candidate, but every word may serve as God's instrument to work out his salvation in us. This verse serves as the other side of a sandwich, where this central verse is what ought to keep our attention. And so the first and third surround this second sentence found right in the middle, the one that should stun us every time it is heard. After Jesus asked Philip how these will be fed, the words are these, And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. The master turns to his disciple to discern whether he, Philip, has been following him, or if he, like Judas Iscariot, has just been amongst the company. Philip, are you with me, or are you just present? Knowing what he was about to do, he asked Philip to see how Philip would react. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The question ought to remind us of a similar circumstance in the book of Revelation, where St. John is in the midst of a wild vision, perplexing, even unsettling. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 and following. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, You're asking me? Here's one of the many instances in which the answer, I don't know, is very close, or much closer to the correct answer. Indeed, the answer of St. John is not only this, but one better. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? St. John replied, Thou knowest. There are many names for Jesus given to us through the course of the scriptures, but perhaps the best one to be used here is the title Master. Master communicates the truth that those who are under him His disciples are in training. Masters know what they're doing. They know what they're about to do. And they don't always tell their disciples what that thing is that they're about to do. The master not only knows what they're about to do, but they know their disciples. They know the disciples' flaws. They know the areas which are yet underdeveloped, the places where improvement is needed, the places where growth must occur. And the master knows how best to draw that disciple from their novitiate into their maturity. We're all tempted to think that Philip's failure was that he did not discern what Jesus was about to do, that he was about to multiply bread and fish, and that Philip needed to learn the skill of seeing the future, or as we sometimes call it, knowing God's will. But that's not what Jesus is getting at with his question for Philip. One church father, Theodore of Mopsuestia, writes, "Through his question to Philip, he intended to expose his disciples to doubt so that they might observe more clearly the miracle he would do. Indeed, he first kept Philip in doubt and difficulty because of the shortage of food. But then when Philip would see the miracle accomplished, he would learn that everything must always be committed to God, and that he should never feel embarrassed because of any shortage." Jesus knows what he's about to do. Philip doesn't. But Jesus is training Philip to see that everything must always be committed to God, no matter how sorry the situation seems. Does that sound familiar? Jesus knows what he's about to do, and you don't. Jesus knows what he's about to do, and I don't. And then it is as if the rhetorical question is asked of us, what are we going to do now? Well, now it's uncomfortable. Now you have to decide whether the master is your master or not. You have to decide whether the relationship between Christ and you is one of master and disciple, or one of historical figure and disinterested observer. St. Paul would write to the Christians at Philippi as if he was writing to Philip. "Be careful," by that he means anxious, "be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We end our Eucharist services with a benediction recalling those very words, because having come to him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Eucharist, we then should hear the priest's command, "Depart in peace," to love and serve the Lord. Because if he is your master, your reaction to not knowing the future will match what you know of him. St. Paul got the message, and his determination in the face of uncertainty was this: knowing his master, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." St. Paul received the message that Jesus was teaching to Philip. But a lot of people don't like that message. Many would like to look out at the future and say, "I know," rather than "thou knowest." Many would like to trade in their role as disciple for a chance to be the master. And since the time of Christ, there have been folks who have intentionally disbelieved in the miracles of Jesus, thinking themselves to be wise and cultured and intellectual, the true masters of the universe. And it might as well be a cartoon. It has been very comforting for such to develop notions that Jesus was never a master, There were never miracles. He never fed 5,000. Jesus never healed anyone. Jesus never rose from the grave, and that Jesus never saved anyone whatsoever. And a very handy thought that is, for the name Master may now be taken away from Jesus and assigned to ourselves. And we may declare that the real miracle is how brave humanity has been to stand alone against the storms of existence in this world and to shout into the abyss and sound our barbaric yawp, as one dead poet once said. How handy that is for our self-esteem. Jesus asks Philip how these many shall be fed, as they would say, because Jesus doesn't know. Philip's answer is informative for Jesus because he was not aware that it would take 200 pennyworth and that each could have just a bite with that amount. He is just a carpenter, after all. Andrew then tells Jesus something else he didn't know, that there was a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and surprised, Jesus pleads with people to stop asking him for things. There's been some mistake. And as a result, the people produce food they had been hiding all along. And in disappointment, they say, well, I guess there's just no such thing as a free lunch. And with this new Jesus, what can separate you from the love of God? Anything. Who can separate you from the love of God? Anyone. Everyone. And those who believe this are not believers. They are, in the truest sense of the word, unbelievers. Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, approaches Philip and stands with him at the precipice of uncertainty about the future to test him, to find out where Philip is at on this spectrum between belief and unbelief. Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, approaches you, standing with you at the precipice of uncertainty about the future to test you and find out where you are at on this spectrum between belief and unbelief. To Philip, how shall these people be fed? What would have been a fantastic answer? I don't know. But you know, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do. Please let me be a part of whatever you're about to do. Give me a job to do. And Jesus would have said to Philip, all right, gather up the leftovers, which he did. And now, Christian, how shall all these circumstances that you face be worked out? You know what's a very good answer? I don't know, Jesus, Master, but you know. And I can't wait to see. Give me a job to do. Let me be a part of whatever you're about to do next. I don't have to understand. Give me a peace that passes understanding. And Jesus takes an answer like that and says, okay. And a lifetime of this question and a lifetime of this answer produces a very sensible and understandable circumstance, that of a master speaking to his disciple, saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into my joy, or even today, depart in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.